Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell. Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season 4. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Of course, first I want to say hi to everyone, all of you who check out the series every single week, in fact, multiple times a week. So we have new interviews that arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I always appreciate you listening, and thanks to everybody who, you know, who leaves a message, says hi, and all that. I always try to answer those, keep those coming. If you're not already a subscriber, maybe you'll get inspired by the end of this to do so. Of course, you can find us at all the usual hotspots like iTunes and Apple Podcast or Spotify, even YouTube, really wherever you podcast from. Just type in Kyle Meredith With. We'll give you a new interview every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists and discover new ones and just know what's happening in the music world. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, okay, you ready for this? Ed O'Brien of Radiohead. He's got a brand new record called Earth, and that's what we're going to be getting into. This is a record that's been gestating for years, most of last decade. As he'll tell you, it kind of starts around 2011, 2012, and weaves in and out of his Radiohead career. You know, he's got a day job after all. We're going to talk about finding that time and how to keep the cohesion going, you know, that complete thought that he wanted to put onto tape, working with super producer Flood, one of my all-time favorite producers, an architect of the 90s sound. He's done a lot of stuff with PJ Harvey here. Ed's going to tell you about getting inspired by one of the most recent Foles record. And then we'll jump into those themes. It's dark, as you might expect of a record in 2020. Environmental, political, technology, and the problems with all of them. Although, there's also a balance, as Ed will also say, there's an importance of having that balance of darkness and light, and you do find that all throughout of this record. He takes some steps from gospel and soul, does a duet with Laura Marling, and even references the 90s band 808 State. And we'll also mention how Colin Greenwood of Radiohead is also on this record. In fact, I think, as he says, it's the first time that that any of the members of Radiohead have used another member on their solo record. So there's got to be a reason for that as well. Let's do this. Talking about the record Earth, it's Kyle Meredith with Ed O'Brien.
I'm in love with this record. Thank you. Earth is so fun. The grooves are so great on this. And I guess from what I understand, I mean, this wasn't in your grand scheme, right? I mean, everybody else is doing the solo records, but this wasn't anything that you planned?
No, I mean, if you'd said to me 10 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, was I going to do a solo record? It was like, no way. My life was very full with Radiohead and my young family. To be a father when I'm home and to not, you know, to be fully immersed in that was and is really important, but especially when the kids are little and small. And, you know, my kids are now teenagers now, and they don't want to spend so much time with you. But when they're little, it's a really important time. It's an important time now, but it was, you spend lots of time with them.
What's interesting, though, because as I read, you know, about this record and everything, even making the decision eventually to create a record, it's not like it happened overnight. I mean, this stretches the entire decade in a way.
Well, it starts in 2012. It starts the inspiration phase, and then the writing starts happening in 2013. But what happens is, and so 2013 through to 2014, beginning part, I'm writing and recording, demoing a lot, and I'm ready to start recording. But then Radiohead convenes in late summer of 2014, and we start On a Moon-Shaped Pool, and we're recording that until really the beginning of 2016. Mm. There's no opportunity to record, and then we're on the road from 2016 until 2018. And I started the record in 2017, so there was a slight overlap with the touring, but it was there was no time. I mean, you know, a big chunk of that, really a big chunk, 4 years almost, is Radiohead album mm-hmm. and touring cycle. It's a very different thing from Radiohead. It's got a different energy. Mm. And the energy of Radiohead, the headspace, is different from this. So I wasn't able to flip from one to the other easily. I needed to, partly, there's a certain feeling and energy to these songs that was quite hard to get back to. And that was the hardest thing. I had to get back to that break that you have. It's sort of going back to an emotional place that you were in order to deliver these songs, to get them through properly. I had to kind of get back to that emotional place. And that emotional place was from being in Brazil and having time out with the family and having this extraordinary adventure. And that informed it. And of course, inevitably life moves on and you get busier. And so I had to kind of get back to that place, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what is that process like? Because, I mean, Is that sort of like a meditation thing? You look at photographs, try to get nostalgic about something, put yourself in a time and...
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know quite how that happens. I think it's, for me, it was a lot of it actually when I realized I'd go back to the demos and listen to the demos and remember what that feeling was like. Because of course, music holds a kind of, when we love music, there's an emotional memory that we attach with it, right? And like, you know, like a song from, you know, 1984, you hear it that you loved and it'll take you right back. You're like, oh, that's how I was feeling. Same thing with my demos. And so it was a process of actually, because I didn't listen to the demos for a long time once I'd embarked upon the recording process, but actually within those demos held that feeling and that place I was getting to. So a lot of the process about halfway through the album was recapturing what was on those demos and the spirit of that. And that's great. I mean, that's, you know, and that's what happens a lot. Flood talks a lot about that, because there's something about who produced the album. There's something about demos that can be incredibly powerful. And that, because that's when it's most, it's rawest and it's most exciting. This, you get the spirit of the track.
Music is a version of time traveling. I think it's the closest we can, to get to that.
For sure.
You know, kind of reaching that. Yeah. I, you know, since you brought up Flood, I want to hit that, because he sort of brings... Like when I think of Flood, he's one of the architects of what I grew up in the 90s. Yeah. I mean, he had a sound. Do you sort of know what you're getting? I mean, you know, do you reach out to him because you're friends? Do you reach out to him as like, hey, what I'm thinking is what you have?
Yeah, well, so it's a bit of both. So we're friends first and foremost. And we have, you know, our families went on holiday together. And we had conversations about stuff, about music and about all this stuff. So he constantly makes records. He's got a sound from the 90s, but that sound isn't necessarily what he does now. Like, he's carried on working with Polly Harvey. Mm-hmm. He did an album last year with an Irish band called The Murder Capital.
Mm-hmm. Love that record.
Yeah. And he also, the record that I love that came out in 2012 was Alan Moulder and Catherine did the Foles records, mm-hmm. Holy Fire. And I loved that record and I loved the sound of it. And I kept, and I said to him, I said, I want to do something like that. How do we do that? And he said, well, you know, it's going to be over a certain period of time. And I said, how much is it going to cost? And he told me how much it would cost. I'm like, okay, well, let's do that. Because that's the kind of record that I want to make.
It's still fun though, with all this second question is how much is it going to cost?
Yeah, well, you have to, I mean, you know, because I didn't have a record deal. Mm-hmm. So I'm funding it all myself. So you have to figure out, you know, you have to have a budget. You mm-hmm. have to, yeah, like, what's it going to cost? Because, you know, I mean, musicians can endlessly tinker away and forget that they're paying bills. And, you know, studio time costs them, every day costs them a load of money.
The way you talk about the record, the word joy comes up a lot.
Right.
You know, and celebrations. Mm-hmm. But calling it Earth and taking the sort of pale blue dot side away for a second, mm-hmm. but calling it Earth in 2020, seems like that's probably trying to say much more. Like the fact that you can get a lot of optimism within the songs, you know, and I'll point to a few other things as it traces back to Brazil. When I think of Brazil right now, you know, I'm not thinking of the good parts. How much, I mean, Radiohead has a long history, you know, Idiotech comes to mind, you know, when we talk about environmental songs. How much of the light is trying to shine on that part of the conversation as well?
I felt it was really important, because we are living in a very dark, we're in a dark moment, I think, and it's very challenging environmentally, politically, all this stuff that's happening technologically. It's a very, very, very challenging time. But I felt it was important to acknowledge that, but not leave it in darkness. And my music, because it's not how I feel about it. I feel, listen, this planet that we live on is so beautiful. It's so extraordinary. Ordinarily beautiful. And I've had the good fortune of knowing an astronaut, Mike Massimino. And astronauts talk a lot about this, the overview effect. They leave, they go into orbit and they look down upon the planet. This is a jewel we live on. And we've taken this thing for granted. And, you know, many, many cultures and indigenous peoples have really understood about this planet and our connection to it. And since the Industrial Revolution, we've lost our connection with it, because we live in, you know, and I look out the window and we've got very beautiful buildings here in New York City. But everywhere we look, it's all evidence of humanity's ability to build extraordinary things. And it is extraordinary, but it's out of kilter now. And we've forgotten. We've forgotten that we are of this planet, and we're connected with the planet, and we're connected with one another. And for me, I feel happiest when I remember that, when I'm with people that I'm connected. So whether it's at festivals like Glastonbury, or whether it's watching a movie like the Hubble NASA movie, or whether it's watching a film like Interstellar or something, that the preciousness of being able to walk this planet. Now, of course, I understand I got the golden ticket, you know, and I really do. But I think that we're living in a time of, this is a massive moment in humanity's history. And I feel very, very strongly that we need to remember, we need to get back to that connection. And that's the way that we heal all of this. That's because it's out of sync. And also I think the lives that most people live are so incredibly hard, and that comes from a disconnection. That comes from, it's not their fault. It's about the system being, you know, I was talking yesterday about with Carly from my management, and we were talking about mortgages, and she's, you know, and people, and, you know, she's the age when people are starting to buy their own mortgage and stuff like that. And, you know, things like, you know, buying your house and stuff like that can be an amazing thing. However, if it gets you into so much debt that you do a job that you hate your boss, that you hate your people around you, or you don't, you feel, and you have to do it, and it slowly kills you. I mean, this is kind of the story of the West, right? This is the thing that's being reevaluated right now. And I think younger generations, certainly in Britain, don't have the opportunity to buy houses. So this kind of thing. So what am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say here is that I didn't want to make a record that was, you know, oh, it's all going to be great, it's all going to be fine, because that's not the truth. I didn't want to make a record that goes, it's all crap, it's all shit, this is that, because that's not the truth. The truth is there's darkness and there's light. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to do was really look about the light. And for me, like, you know, the news that we're fed is all darkness. There's no news about, like, how good we are to one another. But every day, you know, our experiences, or my experience, and I'm sure lots of people, the kindness of someone being kind, the someone being thoughtful, these are the things that are also as important as the crap that we're being fed about how awful we are to one another. But a light has never shone on that. So for me, it felt very important to the making of the record that there had to be joy and there had to be hope, because we have the potential to be extraordinary. You know, there are times when we all come and equally so, we have the potential to be completely destructive. And, you know, you're witnessing it in your country, we're witnessing it in my country. But I wanted to, I really wanted to, you know that there's darkness, but I'm looking towards the light.
To look at the lyrics like that, because I don't know how naturally lyrics and anything come to it, but it seemed like you almost have to know that that's what you go into. Because a lot of times, you know, people writing lyrics, it's almost just like doodling, you know, you just kind of stream of consciousness come out and to try to set that parameter.
Yeah. This is what I wanted to get to a place with words, because I'm not, you know, I'm not Bob Dylan. I don't have that wordplay or that word mastery. I don't have that history of that. But what I was interested in are words that convey a feeling, and that could be quite general. I'm using a lot of words like feeling comes up a lot, and I use love a lot, which you know, obviously comes up in a lot of songs, but I don't think from where I've come from, Radiohead, there's been a lot of love hasn't been used. And certainly my background, you know, come from Oxford, from the UK, we're pretty zipped up, you know. That's why going to a place like Brazil is really important, because it's like shedding skin. And that was another reason. It was like the opening of my kind of one of my mantras, like, I want to get out of my head and into my heart. That meaning that I want to walk through life with a bigger heart, more love, and all those things. And so that's what I was trying to bring into the music. And I guess it comes more from a kind of lyrically, from a more soul sort of, that for me was gospel and soul. I love that music. I love, because again, that music is about darkness and coming into the light, right? And looking at the light, and also a divinity to life. And so that's the kind of the language that I was using, I guess, is more in that kind of from there.
You get that, really. I mean, one of the most surprising parts on this record, after you make it through all these sounds, of course, you get to the end.
Yeah.
And here's a duet, more or less, with Laura Marling, who I'm a massive fan.
Yeah. So am I.
But this is, I mean, that's a, such a different song from the rest of them. Did you kind of notice that as you were going along, that it was going to...
I didn't really notice, because in my head it's a bit like, I mean, I always used to love mixtapes and stuff like that. Yeah. And the idea of a mixtape is you have a start and you have a finish. So the song that precedes it is Olympic, which is, you know, my existential funk number. And it's a big song. And at one stage, I wanted to finish the album with that. And it could have. But there was something really lovely about coming back in small and intimate. And that's, I think that's the humanity. I think that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring it back. It's a record from the heart. Mm-hmm. It's not a record from the head. And so I think that really helps that journey to come back to a resting place. And I'm kind of old fashioned as well. I still believe in the album that you play from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And of course you pick songs, but I still like that journey. And so that's what I'm still searching for. And to come back in small, close at the heart, a couple together, felt really right.
Yeah. Well, it's fun hearing Olympic too, because the keys are synth, whatever that is. It feels Olympic. It feels like Jock Jams a little bit, you know, if you remember that old 90s thing right there.
No, I don't.
Just like the sports anthem moments, you know.
Really?
It's kind of, I don't know, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a track that I was really influenced when the riff sort of came out, because that riff's on the guitar. I thought it was like 808 State. I don't know if you remember this British band.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
Manchester,
yeah.
And they were very important around the time of the Stone Roses, Happy Mondays, that whole acid house and rave scene. They were like one of the electronic pioneers, and they named after the Roland 808 drum machine. And they had a track called Cubic. And in my head, hence Olympic with a K, because they did Cubic with a K. In my head, that was an allusion to, it was kind of alluding to that time, that sound.
You've got Colin on here. Mm-hmm. When you're doing this, you've got a whole different band. Mm. Is it tempting not to ask people that you've been playing with your whole career? I mean, a liberating moment to say, I get to try, you know, a whole new sandbox with all of these different people?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think if you look at everybody's projects, solo projects, I don't think anybody's played on anyone else's project in Radiohead. And I think that comes from, you know, we've played together a long time and we all know what we do and we all appreciate what we do. But I think, you know, as a musician, you're seeking new experiences, mm-hmm. as many of us are in life in general. So certainly to work with new musicians is really good. It gets you out of your comfort zone as well. And that is really important as a creator. I think you have to be constantly out of your comfort zone. It doesn't make it easy. So working with other people, it shines a light on what you do. It can help elevate what you do. It can help you reassess what you do, make you think in a different way, open your eyes and open your ears, really.
I love how it's all come together anyway. I don't think there's a competition, but I'm going to go ahead and say that out of the solo records, this one's my favorite.
Wow. Well, I mean, there is no competition, but thank you for, I mean, I, you know, I'm just relieved to have made a record that I think stands up to what we've all done and it's consistent. And I'm really mostly happy about is that when you conceive of these songs and you're in the inspiration phase, to actually fulfill that potential, that's the hardest part, to be able to do that. That's kind of my biggest.
Because writing a record's not easy. You've got a luxury of having a band most of the time.
It's not easy. And the other thing is, I've got a lot of long songs, and that's a lot of airtime to fill. You know, you suddenly realize, oh my God, this is an 8.5 minute song. You know, it's not a 2.5 minute song. And I love 2.5 minute songs. You know, grew up on the Beatles. But there's a lot of stuff to, you know, if you're doing, getting into this kind of beats and the rhythm and this whole rave thing, there's a lot to do.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. Ed, thanks so much for
thanks,
this.
Kyle.
Congratulations on Earth, man.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That was lovely.
Yeah. That was fun.
My thanks, Ed O'Brien. The new record is Earth. It's so good. And thanks to you, too, for checking out the episode. Again, if you haven't already, and if you liked what you heard right here and you're not a subscriber, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. We got new interviews that are released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So your favorite artist and new artist to discover and everything that's happening in music, you're going to hear about it right here. So please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with everything that's going on. And again, you can grab it wherever you get your podcast from, too. That does include iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and all the rest. And then after that, head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news and anniversary spins and bonus interviews, too. Again, that's WFPK.org. ConsequenceOfSound.net, they've got your music and film news. You can find me just about any social media platform, at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you you follow, like, all that stuff. That does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be the Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.